Welcome to episode 7 of the Rebel Army podcast. On this week's episode, Greg Bulger joins us in studio to talk everything from his early days in football to his two spells at Cork City and everything that came in between. A look back at last weekend's games, we've got post-match reactions from both first team managers, and we also look ahead to what's coming up next weekend. Right, we're back again for episode 7. I say we're back, but it's actually just me this week. Stephen Ryan is away, so unfortunately you're going to have to listen to me a little bit more than usual. We still have plenty to talk about. It was a busy weekend in the Cork City world. Two first team games again. We'll start off with last Friday in Limerick. A cold and wet night in Limerick, actually, in the Markets Field, but a big city crowd, 350 plus there, which was brilliant to see. Atmosphere from the away end was great. The match was a nil-all draw. You'll hear in a minute, but Tim, in his post-match interview, kind of says it's a good point. All things considered, we had a number of players missing. City probably had the better of the chances. I think everyone watching the game will say that. I think people from Treaty Persuasion will say similar. But yeah, a nil-nil draw. Not the worst result. It's another clean sheet. I think that's 5 clean sheets from 6, which is good. But yeah, this is what Tim Clancy had to say after that one.
Oh, listen, I think it's a good point. I go, when you look at it, Treaty have started really well this season. Bit windy this evening. Pitch is very, very good. It's the best one we've been on all year. So I think, in the grand scheme of things, I think it'd be a good point when you look back at the end of the season.
You were missing an awful lot of players, and even two of the guys who came on, Cian Bargary and Cian Murphy, the two Keens, these were their first minutes of the season. Now, ideally, I guess from a manager's point of view, you'd want them to have played a bit before you throw them into an environment like this.
Yeah, listen, it's a couple of hundred games into my management career, should I say, and today, including the young lads that were out, the 17s who featured this year, and a few injuries and suspensions with Barry Coffey, with 13 players unavailable to start the game, which was mad if you think about it. We had Murph and Cian Bargary, Bagsy, to come off the bench for 15-20 minutes odd, and as you said, that was their first minutes in the season, so I thought he had a good impact on the game as well. So we had Niall, who was centre back playing in centre midfield beside Greg Bulger as well, starting the game. And I thought, listen, all considered, I think it's a really good point for us. And of the lads that we're missing tonight, we should have probably 6 or 7 of them back for next weekend, which is brilliant.
So when you listen back to that and you hear that we've had 13 players missing for that game, and getting out of there with a point probably isn't a bad result. Top of the table, 14 points, we're still 3 ahead of Treaty and Finn Harps, I think, are in third place. So yeah, getting out of there with a point is quite a good result. Saturday then saw the return of the Avenir Sports All-Ireland Cup. The women's first team took on Wexford in the first group game. That was held at Ferry Carrick Park and it ended 2-2. That was a very, very entertaining game. Danny Murphy was very disappointed after last week's result in Galway, and he was very happy with the response to that result by doing what they did on Saturday in Wexford.
Yeah, it was brilliant, to be fair. You know, like, we, after the game last week, look, we were all disappointed, like, as a staff and as a group of players, that, like, that what happened. And we knew if we got things right this week, it would kick on. And to be honest, we came in a dressing room after the game and the girls were annoyed themselves and they took control of the situation. And, you know, even today, and the way they've done things all week in training, we knew we were going to get a positive reaction. And we know what's in this team and we know what they are capable of, and that's why we probably get a little bit frustrated with them, but we know they're capable of performances like that, and something that we can build on going into the league.
And yeah, two good, well taken goals tonight, but probably frustrating as well not to have won it. There was other chances, there was an offside goal and Colleen came close down the other end in the first half as well, so you can be frustrated as well not to actually win the game.
No, do you know what, we didn't create huge amounts of chances in the last couple of games, and to create the chances we created tonight and the performance and the doing the dirty stuff, as I said to the girls after the game, like, you've done the dirty thing so well, you've won your tackles, won your headers, because we know they can play, but sometimes we don't do the dirty stuff too well, but we're getting there and we keep improving, and for me, like, that's something to build on and something we can keep developing and keep improving. But like, look, really happy with the point. I think we probably had better of the chances to go and win it, but listen, they're a tough team to play against and they put balls in your box and set pieces are difficult to deal with, but I thought we dealt with everything quite well tonight.
Yeah, as Danny said there, a 5-0 defeat the week previously and a really, really good performance in Wexford that I think everyone was kind of disappointed to come away having not won the game. So that was a real contrast from the previous week and just, yeah, a really good reaction to the result in Galway. And that leaves City joint top of Group B. Reminder of that group, actually. Cliftonville, Cork City, Shelburne and Wexford are the four teams in that group. Back to league action next week. But yeah, the All-Ireland Cup will be back in a couple of weeks' time. They weren't the only team in action on Saturday as well. The women's under-17s were away to Bray Wanderers. That ended in 1-0 defeat. The men's 15s won 2-0 over Wexford and Bishopstown. David Dunn and Joe Miskela got the goals there. And it was a double match day again for our amputee side in Dalymount Park. A 3-1 defeat to Shamrock Rovers. Rory Murphy got the city goal there. And a 3-2 defeat then after that to Bohemians. Kevin O'Rourke with both in that game. On Sunday then, the women's under-19s were back in Ferrycarrig Park. A 5-2 defeat to Wexford. Hughie O'Sullivan with both city goals in that one. No game for the men's under-17s. And the under-14s won 2-0 away to Waterford. Ollie Lynch got both. No game as well for the under-20s this weekend. I know I said earlier on that it was just me this week. Stephen wasn't here, but we actually did pre-record an interview before Stephen went. We had Greg Bulger in studio last Thursday, just before the game in the Markets Field, actually. One of our most requested guests, and we finally got him in. We tried to get him in, but it's difficult. We record while the first team are training most of the time, so it can be tricky to nail down players like that. But we've got Greg in, a really good chat, actually. So I'll play that now, and you'll hear from me again afterwards.
Welcome to the podcast, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
I know you're coming fresh from training sessions, so you're probably going to be a bit tired in this one.
Yeah, there's probably a few groans and and that, but no, I'm all good, all good.
And how's fitness at the moment?
Yeah, all good. Feel very good. Obviously, I had a little setback there in pre-season with my calf and stuff, but other than that, now flying, ready to go.
You've had a long career in football. If we go back to the early days,
how long do we have?
We have long enough, I'd say. But if we go back to, you grew up in Wexford. How did you end up in Cherry Orchard?
Yeah, I was at so basically, obviously, would have played school by with my local club at New Ross Celtic, and was time obviously was the Wexford Utes. There wasn't say an electricity league team at the time, and it was just like kind of inter-county stuff. So made a few of them teams. Played obviously with New Ross Celtic, my local club, got onto some of the inter-county teams and stuff like that. And then I think it was a school, it could be Leinster Schools and Irish Schools. I got into the Leinster Schools team. And on the way they'd played the Four Provinces or whatever and stuff like that, and I'd pick from there. But I ended up, I think I was the only one at the time that came from Wexford. The rest from New Ross Celtic, say, from Wexford, and the rest then were all like Dublin based players. All I played for your Cherry Orchards or Crumlin United, you know, and St. Joseph's and stuff like that, and just played on that, played in the high schools, and God rest his soul now, John Wilkes was his name, was the manager of Cherry Orchard, and he just asked me would I come up and play. I think it was really 16 or 17 at the time, and I was kind of looking at it, and I knew Wexford were going to be kind of starting out electricity team in the future, but I didn't know how long or when it would be. It was just in the pipeline, really. And I said, you know what, I'll go for it. I think I was in sixth year, I think. So I would have trained with my local club, end up signing anyway for Cherry Orchard, 17s. Actually signed in a back, he was a taxi driver, actually signed me contract in the back of a taxi, yeah. But I signed for there. It was just a case of come up the weekends, play Saturday.
So you wouldn't train during the week?
No, I'd stay at home and train with my local club.
Yeah, and they were okay with that?
Yeah, they were grand with that. My local club was grand. They would have, at the time, they would have probably been the best team in Wexford at the time. They would have won numerous things, and it was back then, you know, it was me, and it was just, there were men, you know. So you'd be getting kicked around the week and then go up and then train on a Saturday with Cherry Orchard and play the game Sunday. And then fly home, probably stay over in one of the lads' houses or whatever. But so that's how I got to Cherry Orchard then, 17s.
And they would have been renowned for producing kind of good young players at the time as well, weren't they? Through the years, like Cherry Orchard would be one of the famous clubs, like St. Kevin's and stuff
That. Yeah, they would, and they would have had a link, I think, probably through Willow Flood and all of Man City and stuff. You see, even when we were, like, had jerseys, the crest to be a Man City crest on, and and the Cherry Orchard crest, even though I'm a Man United man and myself. But yeah, so they would have had that link, and kind of like back then, obviously it's different now, obviously with Brexit and stuff, but there would have been a lot of players gone through there. I can't name them off my head now, but you'd know them, like an international recognition they would have got, like, now
over the last coming to games and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, that's it, like, you know, and my kind of thought was, right, I kind of probably need to get to Dublin if I want to have some kind of career in football. Like, obviously you're playing against, so look, let's be honest, at the time it was the best against the best of that age groups and stuff, so that was kind of my thinking. And Yeah, brought me up and down. Saturday, go to games as well. He'd bring me up and down the country for play to him. And
a lot of mileage on the clock.
A lot of mileage, yeah, a lot of mileage. A lot of swearing on the sideline, yeah, all that. But no, he would have brought me up and down, and it was good. And from there then, sure, I only played there for a year. And then got a chance to play with UCD then. That's how I went to UCD from there, like, you know. So I played 1 year with Cherry Archer and then went to UCD.
And were you in college in UCD?
No,
well?
I wasn't in college. There was, I think the only way at UCD do it, there's like a trial kind of thing. Like there's like, could be 1,000 players come through the doors and they have trials thing for it. So there was a kind of a link. Obviously, Pete Mann was the manager at the time at UCD, and he wouldn't, like, obviously know all the school by clubs and the managers and the coaches, because obviously, you know, the way UCD do it, they'd be looking for the next young fellas coming up through, yeah, and obviously with that. But there was like, I think there was 8 of us that were picked to be brought into UCD, like, and at the time you had your pros and lads in the college, so obviously it's different now.
Yeah, probably on scholarship.
Yeah, the scholarships and all. Yeah. And there was like a course to be done, and there was I think there was 8 of us, and I think 3 or 4 of us didn't have enough points for a certain thing that year of the scholarship. So Pete Mann basically told the 4 of us that, look, come in, do a PLC course for a year, and you get straight on the course. We're like, right, happy days. And so I think 8 of us signed, and the 4 of us like, yeah, we're sorted, we're grand. And then we signed, and then literally I think a few weeks later he turned around and was like, right lads, there's no PLC course. He just wanted to sign us, but we have another course for you. So it was like, there hadn't been a PLC course or something in UCD at the time for the last 10 years. So he just wanted to sign us, and I ended up then signing for UCD, kind of getting like an amateur contract straight away. And there was like an FEI Falls courses that we would have done out in Ringsend. So just a few of us went out to that.
Which kind of like an apprenticeship.
Yeah, which I think really stood to me, because you're in every day, you're doing full-time football. And then you're coming in the evenings and you're training with the first team, UCD, and your 21s. And Martin Russell was the coach with Pete Mann at the time. So he was over the FEI Falls course. So he would have seen your progress as every day, you know, and seeing how you're applying yourself, and if you're getting improvement and you're getting better and you're getting good coach, you're getting coached by the coach of your League of Ireland team. So I did that for a year, and it was great as well. Probably shouldn't say this now, but I was getting a good like wage off the Force FEI thing as well, and a bit off UCD. So I was kind of probably saying I was coming from the country, which I wasn't, but hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt me. But so yeah, it was nice, but the big thing was opening my eye to nearly full-time football straight away at a young age, and I think it stood to me over the years. So that's how I got to UCD then.
So straight away then, when you were finished that course, were you kind of saying, no, I want to be a professional footballer, and, you know, League of Ireland is a great option for me?
Yeah, I was, and that was like, look, I've come from New Ross Celtic, playing Intercounty Wexford, got to Cherry Orchard, and then was coming into the League of Ireland environment, you know. So obviously with the courses, there was a lot in the FA Falls course, there was loads there. You're fully qualified gym instructor, there's your first aid, your VTAC, all them stuff. There's loads of different things.
So there's a backup option
for
you.
This was things you were doing like on a day-to-day basis in the course, which was good to have as well, but my main focus was football. So it was a case where just I wanted to be a play football. That was my main thing. Even though I had all them things in the background, my main focus was trying to be the best I could be and see how far I could get or whatever, you know, in football. So.
And was your father behind you at that stage? Was he saying, yeah, go for it, like, or did you focus on a career or something?
No, not really. He didn't have much of a say, to be honest. He was kind of the thing where he wanted me to do whatever I wanted to do, kind of thing, and support it. So it was a case where, there was no pressure or anything from him to do anything. It's whatever I wanted to kind of do. And yeah, so that's it. I was just focused on football then at that age, yeah.
And you stayed with UCD for a few years before moving to Dundalk, was it?
I think I was at UCD for 3, maybe 4 years. And I remember, and I went to Dundalk then after, yeah.
And that was kind of Dundalk before they became the success story, from around, 2014 onwards, where they were huge under Kenny. But like, when you went in there, what was it like? Was it kind of an emerging club again? Or
no, it was like they were... They were steady enough at the time. When I was leaving UCD, I was supposed to go across the water actually. After I left UCD, and it was Blackpool was the team that were interested, and they had talks with UCD, and there was bids put in, and there was talk. You know, you're a young fella, you had potential. Yeah. Do you know?
And did you go over?
No, but the thing was, so obviously it's different league here, the summer league and the winter league. But sure, didn't they get promoted that year to the Premier League? Sob stories for me, but it was a case where probably the Calabar player just went up and what they were going to bring in. So that kind of never materialised. But and at the time, you know, you're a young fella, and you kind of look back at it, I think that kind of knocked me back a bit, because I thought like this could be potential, like, yeah, chance to go, because you don't know how many chances you get, whatever. Like, you know, that's the way you're kind of thinking at that age.
And is that the goal? When you, do you know, like, for a lot of lads that are on course, like the fast course at the time, is the goal always to try and go to professional football across the water? Or, you know, like, was that the mindset back then?
Yeah, I think so. But like, for the course I was on, there was actually lads, there was like Jay O'Shea, there was lads that were playing with Bray, there was other lads that were coming up through. To say back then it was just the 21s, there wasn't really the academies, you know what I mean? So it was like, there could have been lads playing at St. Pat's on the 21s and Bray 21s or whoever, and they'd be all on the course. And we'd be playing against each other, like in the 21s at the time, trying to get into the first team and then coming in, training together. Like, so it was a great standard, you know. But so I think, yeah, like back to your question, when I was at UCD, ended up going to Dundalk, and we had a great team. We had Jason Byrne up front, we had Mark Quigley. We had Daniel Kearns, Keith Ward, your man Michael Hector now that plays in the Championship. He was only on loan from Reading. There was Ross Gaynor, he was down here at Cork, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
We had a great Peter Cherry. Peter was here as well, was he?
He was for a while. Yeah, he didn't play that much.
We had a great start at 11, and I think Ian Foster was the manager at the time, if you remember, but he was the manager of Galway, and he was the manager of Dundalk. And I think he probably put all his eggs in one basket, because our start at 11 was great, but after that we were
got injured, we were
struggling, and we did get a lot of injuries. We started the season really well. We got to the Stanley Cup final as well. I think we got betting that against Shamrock Rovers and Talla. But it was good, because that was my so-called first time being first time football in a fresh setup, you know what I mean, coming from UCD.
Yeah, UCD was kind of
part-time. You had your pros, but like it was basically part-time. But so that was a kind of a, it didn't go too well for me up there, to be honest. Like I said, I'm going back to probably my head probably being scrambled over, not possibly going across
the
water.
Dealing with the disappointment.
Yeah, that kind of way. And that year kind of didn't have a great year up there. Hence why the Dundalk fans probably don't like me. Well, not many do, to be honest, but it was a case where I didn't show my best, and it wasn't a good year for me up in Dundalk, and I got injured as well, I think. So it wasn't one that I look back on fondly. Like, but wish obviously it was different, because look, at the end of the day, there's a club that you're paying your wages and want you to do well, and I want to do well. That's the kind of person I am, but it just didn't go well up there for me.
But then it turned out that, you know, success was on the horizon with Pats. Like, that was a big move for you then, was it?
Yeah, it was a case where, like, after Dundalk, they wasn't sure what way the budget was going to be, if the manager was there and stuff. And, you know, the FEI courses they do, on the lads that are out of contract, all come together, like, and it was mad. There was loads at the time. The only way, they were only giving 1 year deals there as well. So some lads were kind of, like, probably not signing and going to that and seeing if there was any other options. But I think there was, like, loads of Kenny Brown that was down here as well. 2016, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Me and him were on that camp, whatever, the only FEI camps that they do in the off season and stuff. And there was serious talent that was on the course, or that was on the camp. And you're just thinking, like, right. And then Liam Buckley was the manager, with Trevor Crawley being the coach. And we ended up, I think he signed like four or five lads out of that. We signed for Pats. I think Pete Mann was the manager before Liam came into St. Pat's. So we end up signing there and having a great time then, yeah, with 4 years of Pat's then. Had good success, won the league, won the cup, and loads of European, my first taste, probably European experience as well, going out and playing. I think we played Hanover, and we had some good trips out in Bosnia, and some camel rides as well. Jesus Christ.
Camel rides.
We're trying to get there. That was the thing back then. There was no charter flights. It was a case we were getting buses or planes to to Heathrow and another plane out, and then a 4-hour bus journey. So the preparation was really good. But yeah, so all experiences that I've for the first time that I experienced, you know. So
it was a very successful period for Liam at the time.
Yeah, it was. So obviously, I think it was the first year we came third or something. Whole new team. It was literally a whole new team. Became third. So great players. And then the second year, I think could have got to the FA Cup final the first year. But I don't count that one because I was injured. I missed it. I got two weeks before the final. I got injured. I rolled my ankle and I missed it. And I'll be honest, I was upstairs having a few drinks. I can't even tell you who scored in the game. My head was gone that I missed it. So I didn't see much of that now, really. But and I think the second year, did we win the league the second year?
It was around that time.
I think we could have won the league the second year and then won the FA Cup the third year.
Brilliant.
And then the fourth year then was a case where I think that team was kind of like, it was an older group, and I think it was coming to the end. And it was a case where I was just thinking, right, where can I go next or wherever like that, you know.
Am I right in saying around the same time that there was rumours that, you know, Motherwell or someone was in for you?
Yeah, they put in a bid for me just to go. I think that was probably how I ended up in Cork, to be honest. There was bids on the table. There was put through. There wasn't much now. I know the figure. It wasn't much, but my contract was up at the end of the year, and there was only 3 months left or 4 months left of my contract. And obviously the club were thinking it wasn't enough at the time. I think it was time at Pats. I was at one of my best periods of football, and I think Ian Barraclough was obviously the Sligo manager, and we were going head to head the year before for 2 years. They won it. Sorry, the first. That's what it was. They won it the first year he was there, and we won it then the second year he was there, and then he got the Motherwell job. So he wanted to sign me, and it was a case where, look, they wouldn't let me go. We didn't have a great start to the year with St. Pat's, and it was a case where Europe was massive for us, for the club financially and all that. And obviously Liam wanted his best players at the club to have the best chance of getting through around, because it was, you know, yourself, it's massive to a club. Yeah. So it was a case where I think I walked around Richmond Park for 2-3 weeks in circles, trying to not force it, but case where, like, look, I'm at age, I think it could have been 26, 27, was I?
You're kind of in your peak,
And I was like, look, it was a case where, look, I might never get a chance again. This is probably my last chance if I am going to go anywhere or do anything. And it was just a case where it didn't suit the club for them, the money wasn't enough. And it was just a case where I kind of had to get on with it, you know. But my argument was, look, we've won everything. We won the league, we won the cup. You've been great to me, I've been great to you.
Would you not let me go,
kind of thing. But look, it didn't materialise. And then it was a case where Barraclough was on to me, and it's like, look, the club won't push it through, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, right. And then there was a case where he wants me to go to a training camp in Holland. Because obviously their season was different, you know, the winter league, whatever. But it was around the same time we were playing Europe, and I was like, look, if it's a case where I go, I could be there for the rest of my life. I could be back after a year, who knows? Mm. You know, just give me the chance, kind of thing. But it didn't happen. And then I think there was like two midfielders went to that camp, and he ended up signing them. So it was gone then, you know, it was too late, and he couldn't wait around. So then, for me personally, then I was like, right, that's gone. So where can I go next to try and win something? Because look, if I'm going to be here, if it's not going to materialise for me to go somewhere, go abroad, which I hope I did, but it didn't happen. I was like, right, I'm going to try and win as much as I can. That was my attitude. Where can I go next to try and win something? And you're in Cork, were the upcoming team, you know. They came second twice, didn't they? Mm. So I think it was a case we sent Kenny Brown. We're kind of thinking, right, where can we go to win something? Because I think at Pats, we had a great spell at Pats. I loved my time at Pats, but it was, like I said, I think it was an aging team, and it would kind of have to be in a big rebuild. And look, you want instant success, don't you? So I was kind of thinking, right, where can I go to try and win something? If I'm going to be in the country, I want to go somewhere where, if I'm going to be in the country for the rest of my career, I want to go to try and win something and have trying challenge for honours. So Cork was the ones coming up, and I ended up actually signed a pre-contract with Cork, and with a few well, I think it was a month or more to go in the season. But you know, them pre-contracts don't mean anything. Because you can't register until the new season anyway. It was just a case for that. And,
did you have a chat with John at the time?
Yeah, I met John.
Did he go up to you?
Yeah, no, we met in a secret location. And we had a chat and all, and like just put out his plans, and he's coming so close. We just need probably a few more bodies with experience that have won things and stuff like that. So I was like, right, got my head around that Motherwell thing was gone. And right, so going down to Cork, let's hopefully be successful and win. And obviously it turned out all right, I suppose.
And that was like two successful seasons there, yeah. I suppose. The first season, going neck and neck with Dundalk, there was a lot of new players in the squad too, but you gelled kind of quite quick, didn't you?
Yeah, no, it was. It was like you said, that year I think came in, I think Shawny Maguire came in, Stephen Dooley came in, yourself, Kenny Brown. I think there was a few, maybe one or two more, but the rest were kind of there.
Yeah.
Like, I think Gareth Morrissey came back from Cambridge. And so it was kind of like, that was kind of probably the next step for John to be like, right, because to be fair to John, he'd done an incredible job with the lads, because it was mostly all the local lads, one from Cork, and like he probably got the best out of them, and he obviously probably thought he needed to get that bit more quality as such, or whatever you want to say, that experience of winning stuff. And I think it was Adam Bennett came back as well, I'm sure, that year.
It was around that time, I think.
Came in together, and to be fair, it was a great group of lads.
Solid
players.
Yeah. A lot of them are kind of mid-20s as well,
Probably,
you know, ready to win things as such.
That was it, and that was the ambition, you know, coming second twice in 2 years, or the aim was to go win the league and try and beat Dundalk, you know, because they had two successful years, I think.
But like John had taken over, they had come up from the first division relatively, and all of a sudden we're challenging out of nowhere.
That's it, yeah. So the expectation probably went up, and we knew coming down, especially like me and Kenny, he's from Waterford and I'm from Wexford, obviously we would have travelled together, and we're like, right, we're going down here to win. Like, you know, it's not a case like come second again. So that was the aim, and that was the aim put to us. And we had we came second the first year, didn't we?
We won
Bet Dundalk in the Cup.
What was that like, the cup final? Because like it's one of those moments, goes into extra time, everyone thinks it's going to penalties.
Yeah, it's mad.
And Shawny gets the winner on the
They're mad days, like, you know, obviously the league is your bread and butter, but going out in the FA Cup final is just a different experience. It's a one day, well, it's the whole week up to it, basically, you know. You're your family and stuff like that, and going to it in the big day, and you're out in the middle of the, you're in front of the whole nation, basically, you know, and this is the game where people that mightn't even watch League of Ireland football tune in because it's a cup final and they're Viva and stuff. So it's hard, like, and I always ask that question, like, over the leagues and the cups, would you rather and all, like, for me it was the league, but the FAI Cup is special, like, just them days are special. And
20 or 30,000 in the Aviva.
Yeah, that's it, like, you know, and just the whole build up and getting your tin of fruits on, your suits on and all that, and just the build up to it and the week ahead and the media and just the build up and all, it's great, like, you know. And then obviously I need to go win the game, I need to go do the business, but I suppose there's no better way to do it in the last minute of the extra time. Don't have time to score, do they? But I was unreal, like,
kind of fairy tale stuff.
It was. I don't know if the game, I can't really remember the game, it was probably shite because it was tight. What was the score?
It was nil,
not the best spectacle.
No, it wasn't the greatest but, games, to be honest, yeah.
You don't really care then, though, when you're in it.
And obviously in the cup final the year before as well, like.
Winning it was amazing, like, you know, and there are the days that you remember, like, in especially like after it and stuff, and you're celebrating coming back in the bus and you're with each other and all, like, it's the end of the year, all your hard work is done and you can just go enjoy it, because obviously when the league camp, obviously the cup is after the league, so you enjoy your leagues and stuff, but then the FAI Cup final is still on the horizon, you know. So but they're special days, especially having all your family and people close to you and people that mean to you. Like, so it's they're great days, and luckily.
But after that, like what happened in that pre-season? Because whatever, like, you started that 2017 season like you were on fire. Did that moment kind of give you belief or something that you were after beating them in the final? You know, they had beaten you the year before, they had won the two leagues back to back, you know, like,
Yeah, no, it's you look at Shamrock Rovers now, yeah. Right? They're coming so close to it, and they won a cup final, and then they've gone on now to win four. Like they're breaking that, getting the duck, breaking that duck. Like, you know, gives you that confidence, and I think that was the case with us, where we were so close, especially like lads. It was different because it was kind of the new group, but you're so close for so long, and you break that duck, and you get the win, and it just gives you that confidence to say, right, let's crack on now. We're just as good. We should be here. We deserve to be here, or whatever. And I think that was the case with us in the next year, then doing the double. Because, well, the first thing is first, we were fit as, pardon me, French, like, yeah. We were fit. Like, you know, John, pre-seasons were not easy. And then
did you come back kind of early,
No, we just came back normal. Full on. We just knew that, right, the league's there for us now, let's go. Like,
yeah.
And
you won the President's Cup at the start of that season, didn't you? Kind of gave you momentum. Like.
Yeah, we did. That was down here, wasn't it? That was in Turner's Cross.
Yeah.
So I think it just gives you, like you said, it gives you that belief that, like, we're the top dogs. We should be, we're just as good as Dundalk at the time. And Dundalk had a serious squad, like, with the players, and they had, like, probably one of the best League of Ireland sides we've had.
And we're having good runs in
Europe and stuff like that. But it was just, like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head. It just gives you that belief and that confidence that, like, right, let's go into the season. And was it like 17 or 21 games later where we haven't lost a game, you know? So it's...
Yeah, we used 20-odd points ahead or something. It was crazy stuff anyway by the summer.
It was mad, yes. Yeah, so.
And then you were getting a small bit of a run in Europe as well.
Yeah, the European nights were great. We played Genk.
Linfield, that's right.
Yeah, to be fair, that them European nights might not happen because we got a nice draw there, Linfield. Yeah. Like, they're in their off-season.
That's true, actually.
They're in their off season, yeah. And you're thinking going up there, like, our league is way better than your league. Mm. Like, we should be beating these. If we don't beat these, like, it's head loss, you know. So it's a case where we did get a lucky draw in the first round because obviously Cork probably hadn't been in Europe for a while, so you're not seeded, you know. So we kind of got a good draw, and Linfield probably had been in it because they would have been the champions in the Northern Irish League for a while. So I think that led on to us having great European nights because we got through that first round. Then we played BK Häcken in Sweden. That was that year, wasn't it? And had bet them. They were very good. And then you had the nights out in Genk where I thought we should have won out there.
That's right, you were unlucky.
We should have won out there, to be fair. But, like, you look at that Genk team, it's mad. Like, Leon Bailey and Wilfred Ndidi. I think there was, like, yeah, he was there. Trossard, wasn't he? I didn't even know. He was there, was he?
He played with the Cross anyway.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, mad, shite, yeah. Mad. Like, yeah, yeah. I came up on the list or something. But no,
like, that's great. That, like, obviously, like you said, like, the club being in the first division and then being so close for 2 years, and the next minute, 2 years later, you're winning leagues, you're winning cups, and you have the European nights back across. Like, there were great times. There were ones that will always stay with me for the rest of my life, anyway.
And like, the lads were on fire. Like, Shawnee was banging in the goals left, right, and centre, wasn't he? That start of that 2017 season. Like, yeah, it was like,
you notice the difference in Shawnee. Like, you know, and even the first year we were there, like, I'd be kind of one in training where I'm full blooded in training, and I was like trying to latch on to the fastest or the quickest player just to kind of test yourself in training. And his first year wasn't too bad. He came back the next year and it was just like, whoa, I can't get near this fella.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the way. He kicked on, like, in the space of a year in the off season. I was just like, this guy's unplayable. And well, I wouldn't have said that the first year, because his confidence was probably down from having the time coming back from West Ham and having a few different spells at different clubs and probably not working out for him. And obviously coming here and having a good first year, and then the second year he just went to a different level. It was mad to see, like, you see it in front of your eyes and just like, no one can get near this fella now, like, compared to, like, say, last year. And obviously he went on to have a great career, Shawnee. Like, he's a great lad as well.
But, like, was John a great motivator as well, like, behind the scenes? Like, he obviously, even at the side of the pitch, very animated and stuff like that, like, ready to kind of jump in or something.
Yeah, a bit too much, maybe, at times. I know, look, John, like, the big thing was getting over the line, I think, with John, like, and putting that, like, siege mentality into all of us. Like, it's us against everyone, and he was great at that. And then, like, you know, there was no stone unturned, trained every day, everything was done right. And I think that was half the battle. I think he had the players there, and it was just about managing it and not letting anyone get too ahead of ourselves. He always used to come back, he's reading the papers, lads. So, like, not to let anyone get too ahead of ourselves, and keeping everyone, like, on our feet on the ground and humbled and stuff. So that was kind of the thing with John. Like, we could be thinking we were playing the bottom of the league or a team that's in the bottom of the league, and it was like a cup final, you know, that kind of way. So that's probably one of John's greatest traits, was like getting that, keeping them dialed in, keeping them motivated for the task in hand, you know.
Yeah, but like, even in the midfield around you, McCormack, you know, Jimmy Cahan, like, there was a lot of competition for places. Garrow, like, there was people coming off the bench that, like, were handy as well, were there?
It was mad, like, when you look back at it and talking to a few lads, they still be friends with some of the lads, like, or some of our 11v11s in training were nearly harder than the games. And, like, they could be, like, saving the first year as well. Like, I was like, if I wasn't in the squad, or you look at it, there's like Garrow and Morrissey, Gary Buckley, Colin Healy, there's Gavin Houlihan, there's, you know, you look at just the midfield, so, and then you got Marky Solo up front as well, say, first year, and Shawnee on the other. You're getting tested, you know, the games.
Carl Shepherd and everything.
Stephen Dooley. Yeah. I could keep going on, there's loads of names, but the whole, like, we nearly had not two 11s for all the world, but it was a case where the 11v11s were blood and thunder. Like, you're getting tested, everyone's getting up against each other, training was at really high intensity.
Yeah.
Like, you nearly want shin guards and elbow pads and everything, like, you know. But and I think that was the thing. We had such a good group of lads that there was 22 lads that, like, came in and trained proper every day. And that just helped us in the games. Then the games kind of nearly came in. Well, not easy, and that's not sounding arrogant or anything, but you're used to that, and you're training midweek, and come Friday, it might be a bit less or the same, and you're used to it. Like, you know, you're testing each other, and I think that was the reason why we were so successful. It was our squad, and it was just a great bunch of lads. There was no egos, there was no not. Well, there might be one or two, I won't name any, but they didn't show it. But I think that was half the battle, why we had such a successful period that time, because of the group of lads we had. Everyone was hungry, everyone wanted to win a game of training. You know, and there was no stone unturned, really, on that side of things. And I think that was the big factor of us having success, you know.
After the kind of defeat in Europe, then when you got knocked out, and then Shawnee went over across the water, you were so far ahead. Did you kind of lose momentum a bit?
Yeah, maybe we did. But obviously, Shawnee was a big factor in us winning the thing. Let's be honest, he scored so many goals for us, and you're pulling away that out of the team. It was kind of thing, and
I know Sadler came in at the time, didn't he?
Yeah, Sadler came in. Great player as well, and it was just you're taking probably your best player out of the team at any team. Doesn't matter where you are in the table, we're probably going to suffer a bit. But it was a case that we knew we had to get so many wins
just to win it.
The way to win, a bit of panic at times.
I remember being just like the Boas game away, and I was saying, we'll win it tonight, and then in Limerick, and it didn't happen again. There was a couple of strange moves at the back or whatever. And
there could have been a bit of panic at times, but it was kind of a case that just calm down, you know. It's get back to what we're doing, we'll have enough to do it. And then obviously one or two games go by, and it's not really, we didn't win or get the result, and we still probably had about 10 games left or whatever, like, kind of thing. But eventually we got over the line,
I suppose it was a draw with Derry, but, you know, still to get it done.
Yeah, that's it. That doesn't matter how we get it done. Just once you get it done, like,
and back up to Dave Leavitt for the.
I know we're talking about it now, but no one's going to really look back on how we did
that's
it or
true.
Whatever.
Actually, kind of thing. When they look at stats, they don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's done.
The record books. And then up to the Aviva again.
And
that's
close,
the one about Pendley Shure,
wasn't
it?
Yeah,
that was my game as well. What was going on that game? I can't remember these.
It was 1-1, the French guy, wasn't it?
Oh, Camion came on for an extra time, didn't he? I came on myself, didn't I? I didn't start that one, I'm sure. I came on that one as well, yeah. Campion, chest, probably debatable if it was offside or not, but he took it on his chest and Carl Shepherd flicked it over. He took it on his chest and turned, it was great. Then the penalty shootout, never nice way to lose, but a great way to win as well.
A great way to win, but horrible if you lose it.
Again, just great times.
It was like
great
history makers, because it was the first time that City ever, and it's the only time that they've ever won the double.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's phenomenal. Like,
no, like, that's it. It's unreal. Like, it's hard to explain really how it is and the way the year went and stuff. And again, I think it just comes back to the characters in the group, where we pushed ourselves and how we got to them levels and how we're able to put ourselves in a position to even do that. You know what I mean? That's kind of the thing. You want to, especially cup finals, look, it's it's about, you need a bit of luck on the day as well, you know. It's not always the best team that wins in a cup final, so the luck was on our side, thankfully.
Did you leave after that then?
I left after that then.
Was someone come knocking on the door with a better offer, or what was the story?
No, I don't know really. I do know really. I don't know if people want to kind of hear that, but I kind of thought we've worked so hard. It's kind of like something like similar to the Pats kind of scenario, where we worked so hard for 2 years to break the duck, and like they were grueling 2 years in terms of like being trying to keep the levels that we're at. And I kind of probably thought to myself, don't know if we'll be able to sustain that again, especially after winning it. And like you said, lads are getting older, there's probably new lads coming in and stuff like that. There's like obviously like Ryan Delaney, who's here, he's probably moving on. There's a bit like was it a case where we were able to go again for another year? And I was like, right, I just kind of looked at it. Obviously, look, I loved being here at Cork, I loved it, but I kind of thought to myself, looking around the corner, will we be able to do it again? This was just me thinking now, will we be able to do it again? And I was kind of, obviously, Stephen Bradley rang me, asked me would I come to Shamrock Rovers, and I was kind of himming and hawing.
Could you sense that there was something big on the horizon?
Yeah, I kind of like looked at it at Shamrock Rovers then again. There was like another thing, right? I kind of had me doubts in a way that would we be able to do that again next year with Cork. And like I said, going back to previous with Motherwell, I was like, right, if I'm not going to be here, where am I going to go to win? You know, that kind of way. That was kind of my mentality, like. And even though it was really hard to make the decision to go to Shamrock Rovers, but I kind of deep down, I thought, I don't think we would be able to do it again for another year, for whatever reason. There probably is a few reasons, but I like to keep it to myself. But it was kind of a thing where I thought Shamrock Rovers, obviously Stephen's trying to build a project there. There's a bit of investment there as well and stuff like that. Not to do with money or wages, because my wages haven't fluctuated or anything over the years. I've been lucky enough to put myself in a position where I've got decent enough money over the years. So it wouldn't be a case that I went to Shamrock Rovers for an extra 100 euro or 200 euro or something like No. I was just kind of thinking, he wanted me to be one of the players to kind of lead the dressing room, try and get Shamrock Rovers back. And on the other flip side of it, I didn't think Cork would be able to do what they did for them 2 years again.
Could you see a cycle emerge again? There's a bit of that in League of Ireland.
Yeah, it is. That's the way it's gone over the years. Might be actually changed a bit now, the way the teams are now, the way you look at the Premier Division now, anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah.
But you look at it back then, it was three or four teams that had a chance of winning something, and the rest probably no chance.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of a case where obviously Dundalk was still there, Cork and Shamrock Rovers didn't have a good few years, and they were trying to get back to that, and there was a project there, and I was like, right, will I stay, will I go? Probably didn't play as many games as I would have liked the second year at Shamrock or at Cork, with John. So it was kind of a case like, I know I'm going to go here, I know I'm going to play every week, and it's a case where, Jesus, if I was to go win something with a third club, do you know, this was my thinking, selfish thinking that, like,
it's a winner's mentality, probably.
Yeah,
though,
look,
isn't it?
Yeah. It is, you can say whatever way you want to put it, but it was just a case where I knew the players he was signing, I knew the players that were coming back. And I was like, Jesus, that excites me, you know. And I ended up signing then for Shamrock Rovers the first year. I think we got through a round or two in Europe. Did we get to the cup final? I can't remember half of these, but
you did
that
one stage. Maybe the year after.
No, I think it was the year after, but I knew the players that were coming back, and you look at all the players that then you were signing, like Aaron McInniff, Jack Byrne and stuff like that. And I didn't know if Cork would be able to like attract the players, because obviously you need to keep adding to your squad if you want to keep staying up there, you know what I mean? And I kind of had my doubts about that. And so went to Shamrock Rovers first year. I think we came third or somewhere like that, and didn't go too well in terms of like some of the, like where we wanted to be, but ended up going to Shamrock Rovers then. And then the second year, did we win the double the second year then, was it? I think that was, or we won the cup.
City started going down that year anyway,
we won the cup. That was kind of my thought.
You were a season off, but it was kind of,
See around corners. So that was kind of me thinking, and I went to Shamrock Rovers and had a successful period there as well. So Yeah, so that was it with Shamrock Rovers. I think they win the cup. That was another. I went back to what I said earlier. They won the cup, and look at them now. They've won four in a row.
Unbelievable.
You know, and it gave them the confidence. And to be fair to Stephen Bradley, he's done an unbelievable job in terms of player recruitment, getting lads in. Look, they probably had the biggest budget, let's be honest, and they have great backing, so they can bring these players in. And the contacts he has, and the agents of all the players, most of the players that come back is probably the same agent, and he's very friendly with Stephen Bradley. So it's a case where he probably has first dibs on lads coming back from England, you know. And you look at like Jack Byrne, Aaron McInerney, Rory Gaffney, all these lads coming back.
And their runs in Europe have kind of probably helped them as well, build profile as well.
Yeah, that's it as well, and build the club up and stuff like that.
You know, across Europe and stuff with the Conference League and all that.
So that was the case there then with Shamrock Rovers, and won the league and won the cup. So I was kind of, in a way,
to myself... Will you attempt to come back to Cork then again, no?
No, but I don't think there was really an offer there at the time. I broke my leg as well in the second year, my last year at Shamrock Rovers. So it was kind of a thing where...
And what happened in a match?
In a match. I think it was during COVID. The league stopped. And then it was... there was like a little mini pre-season before I started back.
That's right,
So it was like... I think it was in June, was it? June,
probably
think it was.
Wrong.
Yeah,
it was in the summer.
I think it was like the last pre-season. Last friendly of during the COVID. We were playing Wexford Utes. And... it was literally the last 5 minutes of a game, 50-50, and went into a tackle, and he kind of pulled over, and I ended up landing on my leg and hearing a crack, and I was like, oh no, something's happening here. But it wasn't that sore, to be honest, for ages, and I was just like, I couldn't be able to break my leg, because I tried to get up and walk off, but couldn't really. I needed to kind of be helped off. But I heard a crack in my ankle, like my leg is my fib, but I... wasn't that sore, so I was like, this couldn't be broke, and I was like sickened, because we were just getting back into the start after after COVID,
kick off.
So I was lying on the bed for ages, just in the dressing room, and then obviously I was brought over to Talla Hospital. But sure, wasn't my leg raised for so long, just to keep elevating and stuff. And about 2 hours later, then I was in the hospital bed, and they got the X-ray, I got the scans, all that. Just waiting for that, and I had to go to the toilet then, and needed just crutches to get in, just be careful. And I never got up, sure, because it was elevated for about 2.5 hours. Once I stood up, I was nearly crying in the toilet. Yeah. The pain, I think, whatever, give me a painkiller.
So was a crack in your fib,
yeah? So it was a crack in my fib, and it was really low, it was actually really low down, nearly top of my ankle, low fib. And it was a case where, so. I thought it was grand, but this is broke.
That's going to rule you for a while.
I was back after 5 months.
That was good recovery.
Yeah, I was back after 5 months, because obviously it was solo down, but the thing was I couldn't stay in a cast for ages, because I would have lost the loads of mobility in my ankle. And I don't have any mobility in this really ankle, to be honest, but I needed to get out of a cast as soon as I could and get into a boot so I could start the rehab straight away, because it was so low down, or I would have lost a lot of, mobility in my ankle. So I think it was June, and end up playing two of the last game. I think it was in June. Was it June or July? I'm not sure. But it was end up playing the last two games of the season and getting back for the cup final. I was never ready. I wasn't fit enough.
Did you start in the final?
No, I came on in the final. Yeah. That's the one I think we lost to Dundalk. I think it would be 4-2. It's the only regret I ever have. I shouldn't have been on the pitch. I wasn't fit enough. My leg was grand.
And had you broke something before?
No,
that?
Never. Never really time? Had. No, first time.
So so you were probably unfamiliar with the recovery process.
Yeah, that was it as well. But you kind of, yourself, you're stubborn, ain't you? You want to get back out on the pitch. You want to be involved in the day and stuff. Because in the previous year, I didn't start for Shamrock Rovers in the cup, but I came on, and I thought I came on and kind of made a difference, changed the game a bit and scored a penalty, and we won it. And then the next year, I was thinking, right, here we go again. I was kind of probably rushed back as well. We had a few injuries, but I was just right, I'd be grand. But came on, and it was I think it was 2-2 in the extra time in the final, and we got bet 4-2, and I was kind of thinking I didn't make the same impact this year as I did last year. But so it was kind of one where I kind of rushed back. So but then contract was up with Shamrock Rovers.
That's probably why you rushed back as well, though. Was it you were thinking my contract's up at the end of the season here?
I wanted to be part of winning another medal. That was kind of my thinking, so it was kind of one that I kind of regret, that I probably should have gave more time. The ankle, leg's fine. It's just I probably wasn't fit enough, match fit. Like, you know, I was fit, but I wasn't match fit. But, so yeah, so that was the story then.
Was it a case of going off to the West Coast then?
Yeah, it was just a case where it was mad because at the time, yeah, football is mad, it goes full circle. Like, I kind of had the huff of Liam Buckley at St. Pat's for not letting me go to Motherwell. And to be fair, after that, he probably rang me nearly every year after that, wanting to sign me. And unknown to him, I was like, I don't want to talk to you kind of thing. Yeah, that was my thing. But like you said, you never, like, you know, you look, of course, like, it was football goes full circle. And he rang me nearly every year after that. What are you doing? Where are you? What's your plans? Liam, I'm in a 2-year contract here. He goes, oh, right, you're just ringing you. But it's a case then where he's at Sligo and I had an option. I think it could have been Bowes, to go to Bowes maybe. And then obviously I worked under Liam before and I knew what way he wanted to play and go up to Sligo. I was thinking, right, will I go up here? And I got a good deal, to be fair. He wouldn't leave me alone, rang me every day and he wanted me. So I was kind of a case where, right, and I got a good deal. And it was a case then where, right, up to Sligo we go. Went up to Sligo then. Yeah.
Well, that was a bit different, I'd say, from obviously you had been in the, I suppose, in Dublin, been in Cork. It's, you know, Sligo was a bit, you know, kind of on their own, kind of over on that side of the world, like, big into football, but yeah. It's, I'd imagine, small town kind of, you know.
Yeah, I look back at it now, like, in all the football and the clubs and, like, it's like the Dublin clubs and the Cork clubs. Like, I just don't think you can beat the country clubs, like, you know, yeah. Cork, like. And Sligo was probably similar to Cork in a way, probably on a smaller scale than like
one club.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, you know. And you look at the Dublin clubs, look, obviously Shamrock Rovers is a big club, St. Pat's is a big club, but I just think you get that community feeling in the country clubs with Cork. Obviously Cork's been the biggest one, and then I think Sligo is like another version of that, you know. It's a footballing town. It's a footballing town. Everyone loves it up there, all the volunteers. You know, the town is football crazy, so it was kind of reminded me of Cork in a way, you know.
So you settled in okay?
Like. Yeah, settled in great. Grand, had a great first year up there, and it was probably on the back of like me broken leg, so I was kind of like, right, I'm going to get back from this. I think I was 33 or 32 at the time, broken leg. Wasn't sure if that was going to be the end of me career or not, like, so I kind of went up there with point to prove that, like, I can still do it to myself more so than that. Yeah. So I think I had a great year, first year with Sligo, but a great club, Sligo. Like, it's like I said, it's like, I think it's like for all the world, no disrespect to Sligo, but like a mini Cork in a way that community feel about the club, and it means so much to them up there. Like, and like, it's like the same here, like the fans here, the club means so much to them. Like, and it was a case where just going up there, like I said, trying to prove that I could, for myself, that I could get back after my injury. And because I didn't know, because my ankle was where it was, the injury was, wouldn't, like, I'm probably going to get loads of injuries on the back of this and lose mobility in my ankle. So, and I probably rush back as well. So all them factors came into it. So yeah, went up and had a good first year of Sligo.
And you stayed there for about 2 or 3 years?
I think it was three years. So many years, I can't remember them all, but I think it was 3 years. Yeah, they said we had a run or two in Europe as well.
Which must have created a great buzz up there, like.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. The first year were very good. We were up the top of the table for, I think, first half of the season. But I kind of knew deep down that we wouldn't be able to stay in it. We didn't have a big enough squad. Like, Shamrock Rovers obviously didn't start well, but you knew they had loads of injuries. They were going to come back and have a chance. So we finished third. I think it was third. Was it third or fourth the first year? And then the second year, obviously, things didn't go too well. Player recruitment, I think, was a big factor, maybe. And Liam ended up moving on, and then John Russell came in, and that's games we were playing, and again, like, against Motherwell and Ballytown and Motherwell again. There we go, Motherwell. But
you're destined to be around there.
Yeah, well, I didn't play that game. I think it was injured that week.
For a match.
But had a great time up in Sligo then. And then last year, not the season we wanted. Obviously, I think we brought, like, I think you look back, I think it's the biggest thing in management now is, look, this is me saying as a player, but like, biggest thing in management is your player recruitment. Mm. What characters you bring into the dressing room and stuff like that. And I think last year was hard for John Russell to get lads in from the league, because you look at it now, like I said, I think it's different now. There's 2-year and 3-year contracts. It's hard to get get players. While back in the day, lads were only 1 year, so you could be gone. You could be getting lads in. You could get lads out of contracts.
Now, jumping all over.
Yeah, yes. Jumping all over. It's like merry-go-round, like, because that's the way it was, like, you know. But now, obviously, you look at it, if you don't have a settled squad, if you only have, you might have one or two teams that mightn't, but you look at, like, even Shells, you look at all the teams now that are in the Premier Division, like, they have lads on 2 and 3 year deals. There might be only 3 or 4 lads leaving, and maybe 2 are coming in, so you have a nucleus of a squad. I think the thing with Russ is he needed a big overhaul, so it was hard to get lads in from the league, hence because they were in their contracts and in their clubs. So you probably had to go the foreign route. And, you know,
it's hit and miss.
You've probably seen a bit maybe last year, which is with yourselves, with that. It's a bit hit and miss, and not knowing the league. And I think
them trying to get used to the culture of
that's
it all
it,
as well.
It's a different culture and stuff like that. And, like, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think some come over probably and think, like, oh, it's Ireland, it's going to be easy. And they get a fright then and they're like, Jesus Christ, this is so intense, like, you know, and fans on top of you and stuff like that. So I don't think it went too well that, in that kind of way. Probably had. I don't mean to sound bad now on the foreign lads, right? There's not a reason why we had a bad season. I think lads that were in the league for us as a group last year, it's Sligo, didn't perform either, like, you know. But we had a tough year, and they found it hard. Some lot of them found it hard, you know. And I think obviously with Colin last year as well, he had to think outside the box as well, trying to get foreign lads in. That's you get in and try and hope they do well. And I'm sure there's 3 or 4 out of 10 or whatever could do well, they might do well, but just not used to the culture. It's different, you know, for them, so it was kind of hard. So that was, like, just no coincidence why I think personally why Sligo and Cork were struggling a bit, you know.
And, like, going back to Liam then, giving you all the phone calls over the years, did you get any phone call last season then from him to say would you come down to Cork?
I did, he rang me and asked me what my situation was with Sligo and stuff. And the answer was, I don't know yet. Obviously, there's probably a bit of a budget change up in Sligo as well. And Russ, you look at Sligo now, they have a tight squad. They've started really well. But they have a tight squad, and there was a case where, was I going to hang up the boots? All these things came into my head. Was I going to hang up the boots? Will I do another year? My stats last year were pretty good for a fellow my age. So I was like, will I hang him up? Will I go? What will I do? Wasn't sure. I was like, look, I'll be finished long enough. I'm going to keep going, and my body feels well. Like I said, I didn't have many bad injuries over the years. Just me, it broke my leg. That was it. I never, like, tore hamstrings. Don't run quick enough to tear it. But there was a case where, right, look, I'll be finished long enough. I'll see what the story is. There was an offer then from Sligo to stay. Liam was on to me, and then in the middle of that, obviously Liam, I think, left the club, so there was a bit of uncertainty. And then obviously Tim rang me as well, met Waterford, and I was obviously in dialogue with John Russell from Sligo, and I was thinking, right, Waterford's an option now, Sligo's an option, Cork's an option. To weigh it up, there's my 3 options for the year. For the year going ahead, so,
and 2 of them were Premier Division.
Two more, right? Premier Division, yeah. And it was a case I met him, and obviously I know the way. I know obviously Cork inside out in the club and where living wise and stuff like that. And obviously Cork were great to me when I was down here, and I loved my time down here. So it was a kind of a case where, look, I think Cork could be the one to go. It was a case where if this was my last year, and I was happened to be a part of trying to get the club up, I think I could be happy with that, like, you know. And that's probably that was kind of my thinking, right? Go down here, give it socks for the year, weigh it up again at the end of the year, see how the body is. Look, we're only 5-6 games in.
And how are you feeling so far?
I feel good. I feel really good. Obviously, I had a little setback in pre-season, but the body feels good. I don't know if you looked at the game there the other night.
Yeah,
seems all right, like.
But
it's obviously doing that over the season is the hard part. So we're going to see how it goes. But that was how I ended up coming to Cork. Anyway, that was kind of my thinking behind it. Hopefully, obviously, the club was in a different position than it was when I was down here.
And
like, you know,
probably nobody left.
No, there's no one left.
From the 2017.
No, there's no one.
It's not like you're going back to Paris.
Yeah. I know that
you're
as well.
Going back to the club, I suppose.
Look, it's a young man's game now. You know, there's only a handful of lads that are over 32, 33 in both leagues. So, but that was my thinking. Go down, hopefully, try and help the club and be a part of trying to win another trophy, and try and get the club up. And if it was a case where if that was my last year, I'd be buzzing with that, you know. But look, I'm not saying it is my last year.
Yeah.
But if it was, I think going out with another trophy in the pocket would be, or a medal in the pocket.
But as you said, it's a case of weighing up how
you see it. Yeah, weighing up, see how it goes.
Because it must be difficult at this stage of your career to kind of say, am I sticking with it or am I going to pack it in? Like,
no, look, I don't think it's difficult. I love football. I love it. It's gave me a purpose over my whole life. I don't want, obviously, when you come to age, you don't want to let it go. But look, if my body keeps letting me play to a certain level and I can start keep making teams, why would I not keep going? Yeah. Obviously, hard lads, when they're finished and they miss it, and some lads don't miss it, obviously different personalities, but I love the game. Like I said, it's given me a routine for nearly half my life. Gave me a purpose to wake up every morning to go play football. So it was like, and like, what a job to have. So I'm grateful to be in the position. I'm not thinking anything about when it's over, when it's done. I'm living in the now and loving it, like, you know.
But as a midfielder, obviously it takes its toll on the body because you probably do more mileage than anyone else on the pitch. Like,
yeah, it would. But I suppose it's about how you recover and how you look after your body. Like, I think we looked at stats there the other night. I think I ran more than most of the young lads, and I'm like, right, lads, what are you doing? What's going on?
and you find that they're giving you kind of nearly a bit of energy in themselves.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no,
you don't
definitely
want to be defeated, like, by them, like.
No, that's it. Like, I've seen it over the years where lads kind of come to my age and they're just here, they're just playing to pick up a wage or whatever like that. Like, I still have the hunger to do well and try and win games and getting that adrenaline after games that they're getting 3 points. That's still there. Like, if I wouldn't be here if I didn't have that, you know. And like, I kind of be thinking to myself, messing, like, was that ever going to go? Like, you know, do you ever? But yeah, obviously, like, there'd be a time when my body said, right, that's enough. But at the minute, anyway, it's still going well, and I'm enjoying it.
How are you finding your new teammates? Like,
yeah, no, it's a great group of lads. Obviously, like I said, it's a young man's game now, isn't it? But
some very young. Some very young.
That's it.
To be your son, I'd say.
Yeah, they surely are. Yeah, stop reminding me of that, actually. But no, it's a great group of lads. And look, this is another challenge for myself. And that was kind of the thing going down, trying to help the young lads as much and pass on my experiences and stuff. So it was a case where that's what Tim was putting to me. And obviously, you come into the club, I wasn't sure about all the young lads, because I wouldn't have been following it. Like, I just wouldn't have been on bubble at Sligo. But you come in and you see straight away, like, there's obviously Liam Kearney and is over the academy and the job he's doing, and I know Liam well and I know the way he operates and what way he sees football. So you can see like the good work that he's doing, like, behind the scenes. And like, you look at it now, and I know Tim is the manager, that if you're good enough, you're old enough kind of thing, you're in, like, you know. And I was surprised, I was took back by how good some of the young lads were, to be honest, because I wasn't sure. You don't know. And then
sometimes there's a lot of talk, and yeah, it's not respectful on the pitch, like, yeah.
It's just like a Cottle for an example, like, you know, he's gone 17, like, and the quality he's at, like, obviously, look, he's going to have a few ups and downs as he goes along, but there's so many good, like, I've named 5 or 6 lads that have been training with the first team that, like, I was like, Jesus Christ, they've like, I don't think I was that, like, that age, you know what I mean, kind of thing. And they have a potential to have a great careers. But that was another part of the thing coming down, helping the young lads. Different challenge again, you're the senior statesman, whatever, in the squad, and trying to lead by example and trying to help them and trying to show them what way it is, what you have to do in a certain way to get to a certain level. And hopefully, if it's a case where they don't go across the water, I know it's like, it's different now, but they can carve out their career for themselves here in the League of Ireland, you know.
And like, is it the start of a progression into coaching for you, do you think?
Yeah, look, and that was another part of it as well. It was a case where, like, get me contract, play for the year, and see how it goes. The club are going to be paying for me some of my badges. Something I want to get into. Like I said, I've played football for over half my life. I don't really know anything else, to be honest. And that really interests me. Obviously, there's only so many jobs and things in the country that, you know, you're limited to. But it's a thing that I'm probably looking to get into in the near future. And obviously, I think I'll be chatting to Liam and stuff and trying to get in with one of the, like, academy teams. Obviously, I would have been in by now, but to do a bit, but it's just because of my injury, I was just focused on getting back for that, for the season and stuff. So that's something I'll be looking into in the next while.
To fall in with them,
yeah, and try and get involved with some of the teams and get some sessions and get some minutes from coaching and stuff like that. And look, if it's here, if it's not here, if it's not, trying to get me badges and progress up the ladder and use the experiences here. Liam's been very good. He basically said to me, if I want to get in one of the teams, let me know and they can do it for me, and same with Richie and stuff. So that's probably a thing I'll be looking to over the next year now, like getting on, kicking on with them.
That's probably a nice thing at the club, like a lot of the coaches are ex-players.
They are, and you know, like obviously Moses is in the 20s and stuff, and obviously Danny's with the women and stuff. But it's like I said, that's probably my next step after football, is trying to get in and stay in football. Like I said, going back to, it's gave me best years of my life. I've done football for half of my life, so it's a case where if I do finish up, I'd love to stay in it. I've obviously worked under some great managers, some bad managers, but you take everything, you take stuff from all of them, some great coaches, and all with different philosophies, different styles, different ways they manage people and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, like, I've experienced a lot of that League of Ireland terms now, like, you know. So it's a case where I think I could get involved in over the next year or two and see if I can get up the ladder. Yeah.
What's the goal for the season? Get promoted?
Win the league.
Win the league.
So obviously win the league. Yep. That's it, and that's the pressure, and that's what we have to do. Simple as that. Win the league. Promotion obviously, but win the league is the one, isn't it? We have the best squad, biggest budget in the league, I'm sure, and that's the pressure of playing for Cork, and obviously that was kind of put to us at the start of the year. And for the young lads and all, like, embrace that pressure. You're playing for Cork City, you're expected to win every game and go and embrace it. So that's it, win the league.
Well, we finish up every interview with some questions, and there is a few from the fans. Don't worry, it's not too bad. So Dara wants to know, how does it feel to be back at City after so long away?
Yeah, great. I'm really enjoying it. Obviously it's different from the last time I was here, in a good way, but I'm really enjoying it. Feel really good, and like I said, looking forward to getting as many games as I can in and trying to help the lads, and hopefully we can keep winning games.
Luke wants to know, who's the best trainer on the team? So I don't know what he means by that.
Who's the best trainer? That'd be a few, to be fair. Who's the best trainer? Barry Coffey trains well.
Does he?
He comes in every morning. Yeah, even though I probably nutmegged him the other day, he wasn't too happy, his head went. But other than that, no, Barry comes in and applies himself well every day.
And Ryan wants to know, who's your inspiration growing up? Who was the player, I suppose, you looked up to, I suppose?
It's probably the only book I ever read. It's probably Roy Keane. I wanted to be like Roy Keane. That was my biggest inspiration. Obviously, I'm a United fan as well. I've seen all the good days, and obviously now I have to listen to King Coleman and they're talking about Liverpool. Break my heart. But Roy Keane for sure.
And I'm sure he'd be able to cross at some stage this season having a look at you. Yeah. So it's kind of come full circle again. So
he's a poor man's Greg Bulger now.
Well, look, Greg, it was great to have you on the podcast. Best of luck with the rest of the season. Great to have you back in the club. And thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us, lads. Thank you.
Over the last couple of weeks, on Spotify or on Instagram stories, we've asked who people want to see on the podcast and what players in particular they want to come on. And Greg Bulger is probably the number one requested player. And now it's clear to see why. That was a very, very interesting chat there. Going right back to his younger days, but the fond memories of winning the double at City, and then probably not really believing we'd be able to sustain it. And that's why he left and went away and won a couple of trophies elsewhere. So his decision was justified. But interesting that he'll sort of back himself, and all he wants to do is win. If he doesn't believe he'll win something where he is, he just left and he went and won elsewhere. And he's done that consistently. And it's encouraging, I suppose, that he's come back this year, because it would lead you to believe that we're on to win a trophy this year, hopefully. And hopefully that's right. And Greg made the right decision. But yeah, that was a really interesting chat. And as always, send in recommendations for other players or guests that you want us to have on from any aspect of the club or any era of the club, past or present, and we'll do our best to get in as many requested guests as we can. But I suppose a quick look ahead to next weekend and what's on the schedule for next weekend. No academy games next weekend, so everyone can go off and enjoy their Easter. The men are back at home on Friday night at Turner's Cross against Athlone Town. The women are away to Bohemians on Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. kickoff there, and then we've got a Monday fixture as well. First one this season, we're away to Wexford in Ferry Carrick Park. An early kickoff for that one, 3 p.m. So we'll be home nice and early again on Bank Holiday Monday. If you listened to last week's podcast, actually, when Damien Delaney was on, I thought afterwards, after he left, of a good point that he raised about the gap between fixtures and wondered how long it was between his last City appearance and next City appearance before he came on. So just if you were interested in that, Jerry Desmond got in touch with us. Jerry has stats and information on absolutely everything, and he was able to fill in the gaps there for us. So Damien Delaney played for Cork City on the 15th of October 2000 against Shamrock Rovers at Morton Stadium in a 4-1 loss. That was his last game before moving to Leicester, and then his next game for Cork City was the 23rd of July 2018 against Derry in a 5-0 win at the Cross. So that's 18 plus years, is it? So yeah, a big shout out to Jerry Desmond for sending that in. That's it for this week. We'll be back to business as usual next week. Stephen Ryan will be back, so it'll be the two of us in studio on a bit of return to form, to how the last couple of episodes have been. But as always, leave us a rating on Spotify if you're listening here, or on Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to your podcasts. Make sure you're following us so that you don't miss out on any uploads. And by all means, send us in any requests for guests or recommendations for things you want to hear on the pod. And we'll do our best to do as many as we can and have as many of those guests on as we can. But yeah, your feedback is always welcome. Send us in a tweet, DMs, whatever it is. And yeah, we'll see you next week.